Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello there.
Adrian Thorpe.
Hello.
And Mikey Demas.
Hi, 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 hi.
Yes, indeed. Yes, hello. So we're back to a four. We've got the four gear of the year hosts, which is lovely. It's lovely to have you back. Lovely to have you back, Thorpey and Mikey. Welcome. Welcome for your return.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us. For sure.
Yes. Well, it was a really good year of the year. I really enjoyed year of the year this year. I kind of feel like it was all the things that we selected were well deserved. You know, I didn't even get too much of a grilling for one of Mikey's pedals getting into the top three. That was that was not too bad. Thank you, dear listeners, for being respectful of our bias.
We got away with it. I cannot believe it.
Well, actually, we didn't entirely get away with it. So someone left a pretty scathing review of our Gear of the Year on the Apple Podcast app. They're always anonymous. They're always anonymous when they're scathing. But they weren't happy with our bias. But that's fine. I never said that we weren't biased, and I certainly don't aim to please anyone.
In fact, if anything, we're more biased.
Yeah, exactly. This podcast started out as a guitar shop podcast. Like, what do you think we were doing?
But God forbid we like something.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought all the things were really good this year. I didn't think, sometimes when we do Gear of the Year, you'll find something slips through, like something that no one's, there'll be someone will really love something and really dislike something. And so those things end up at loggerheads. And so you end up with the inoffensive things end up winning just to sort of balance everything out. But
do you mean like
this year was?
Do you mean like Mac OS, like Monterey? That was a thing a couple of years ago, wasn't it? I'll not get over it.
Yes,
You're never living that down.
No, that's reasonable.
I think looking over the list, I think I said it last week, Joe, but still, so many pedals. I know everyone was like, living in, the second year COVID bubble, but still, a lot of pedals happened last year. Yeah. Overall, there's like 30 on this list, and I'm sure that's not everything because that's only half the boss releases. But yeah, still a very busy year for stomp boxes.
It wasn't really the year of the 200 watt amp, was it?
Unfortunately not.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It's coming back.
It'll be back soon.
It will. It's all cyclical.
Ken and Penny from Reven Guitars were very lovely. They got in touch with me about us selecting the Gristle 90 as the best guitar. They were over the moon. Ken was. I think we're going to have him back on the podcast. Actually,
That was a good podcast.
Yeah, he just has great stories. Nice. So
I think it was
when you get him on, can you get him to make a left-handed gristle?
Yeah, yeah, we'll ask.
Either
we'll
black ask. Or the, you know, the diarrhea colour.
Yeah. I the guitarist.
I'm
the
sure
guitarist.
It's going to be. Yeah, definitely.
the yellow like green diarrhea.
I like it.
Yeah, it is a good colour. The guitarist in my band, who's also left-handed, a few years ago when we really started getting into Reverend, I think, you know, when we first discovered them, and I was talking about them all the time because they do so much stuff and it was so cool and different and it's traditional enough but with a modern twist. Like, it's everything I want in a guitar. I started talking about them so much. He was like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to get one. And, yeah, the left-handed offerings were a lot, considering there are, what, sort of 30, 40 guitars in the Reverend catalogue. They certainly did a few, but it's, you know, it's that standard thing that left-handed guitars have where it's one color. Then, you know, it tends not to be color options, and I think it was something like there was nothing that didn't have a trem in their left-handed range, which Tim was not into at all, which was a shame, but we'll see.
I would actually just give a real, I don't know why I didn't clock this when we're talking about it on a gear of the year. But they've made massive improvements on their website. I know that's a really nerdy thing to pick up on. But before it was quite really dark colours and you didn't really see the models. Now everything's bright and light. And actually looking at it, you're like, I still want one of those. And I definitely want one of those. I mean, I still want the Billy Corgan Terz, the mini scale A to A Billy Corgan signature with one humbucker.
Yeah.
Sounds versatile.
Just such a ridiculous guitar to own. Nah. just a big muff. I mean, are his guitars versatile if he's just got a big muff running through it all the time? I don't know. But yeah, sort of found a new love for all of the guitars on there just because I prefer the images.
Yeah, it's a nice website. As websites go, it's nice.
You can get a Jetstream 390 in a lefty mic in the nice foam shrimp pink.
Okay.
Absolute killer. 3 P90s. Love that guitar.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's the correct amount of P90s.
Yeah.
3 minimum.
Yeah.
That's the deal. If it's got any less than 3, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm in.
So when they come on the show, left-handed. Gristle 90, 3 right. 90s. How many? Right. Not 2. Three.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
I'll see.
What I want.
Yeah. I'll see what I can do. I'm sure it can be arranged. It's gonna be fine.
There was like that Troy Van Leeuwen Yamaha guitar that had 3 P90s in it as well, like the hollow body thing.
Oh, that was a great guitar.
Yeah, that was badass, that guitar. It was so cool. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah. Very, very cool indeed. But yes, you know, there, it was lovely for Reverend to get in touch with us. And also great to speak to Steve at Audio Kitchen as well afterwards. He was over the moon also that, you know, his pedal had done so well.
Oh, well deserved. And, he's an awesome dude.
Yes, and well deserved. One's winging its way to me and then you, Matt, to you know, make some fun little Guitar Nerds videos. So, you know, we'll do that.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Where's mine?
It'll arrive with you at some point, I'm sure. I have no doubt. But
one day.
Segueing deftly into things that we get sent, I want to talk about Alien Alloy guitars. Because we got sent, actually, just before Christmas, we got sent the Alien Alloy Polymorph, which is an aluminium guitar. They're UK made, so I can say aluminium. They're made in Birmingham, this very interesting, unique aluminium body wood necked guitars. I did, dear listener, make a little video, and there are photos and whatnot on our Instagram, so you can go and check those out. But Alien Alloy are the company, alienalloyguitars.com, if you want to check out the website, because I don't know how, without you seeing this, I can describe this guitar in a way that you will understand and think is real. Because it is aluminium, it's one billet of aluminium, but it is full of holes.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Not like cheese, like weird shaped holes all over the place in a roughly sort of offset-ish single cut style shape, but very like incredibly unique looking. And thank goodness for those holes, because even with the holes, it is a chunk. It's a heavyweight instrument. So, you know, I imagine it would be unliftable if they hadn't introduced the holes. But yeah, a totally different looking guitar.
I just want to point out, and this will only really appeal to UK listeners at a certain age, I am hoping that they named it after the Red Dwarf episode, Polymorph, which is by far one of the best episodes in the early seasons of Red Dwarf.
Well, Matt,
John, I think you are onto something there. Because I've looked at their website, I've had a look at the guys at the behind, and they look the type.
Well, Mikey,
Red Dwarf demographic.
Mikey, they are previously world champion fighting robot builders.
Say no more. Say no more. That's absolute demographic right down the middle.
This is their first move into guitars. They're Birmingham previous world champions in fighting robots. They've got pictures even on alienalloysguitars.com of them with their sort of robot wars type championship level robots. So they've got pictures of that. That's what they did previously. Now they're making a foray into guitars, and this is the first one, the Polymorph. It is incredibly interesting and unique. Now, the neck they have gone for, like, it's a solid maple neck. They've got a few different versions. There's one with, like, quite a traditional gloss maple neck, which all the videos seem to be. And the one we've got sent is, like, a lovely sort of matte, like, satin mottled, almost baked maple neck. So not aluminium neck, but aluminium body. And they make their own pickups.
This is
something I did want to talk about, because they've called them the Tikka Terror, and it is named, they do confirm in their description of them, it is named after a curry. And I have to say, if I was going to choose a curry to make it sound like my pickups were hot, maybe the second mildest curry on any menu, like the one that 12-year-olds get, maybe I wouldn't go for that one. I don't know.
I'm more of a masala customer.
A madras. You go for a fall. I mean, that sounds extreme, and vindaloo's just not going to sound good. But madras, that's always the second hottest thing on a menu. If they don't do a fall, you got vindaloo, then madras. That would be fine. But, you know, tikka, I don't know. That's like, you know, the korma caster. You know, it's
The colour of the gristle 90?
Intimate that it's spicy. Yeah, there you go. Tikka caster. Yeah, korma caster.
There we go. Couldn't you combine the two hobbies? You could have the fighting guitar, a guitar that actually whips the neck round and like slaps people around the face. You know, just if it gets a bit fruity.
Well,
like,
yeah, we already have.
guitar nerds are teaming up with Music Nomad. Since 2010, Music Nomad Equipment Care has been making premium and innovative guitar care products used and trusted every day by top guitar repair shops, guitar makers, and touring techs in over 40 countries. Pro quality but affordable, Music Nomad is also the go-to for countless guitar players around the globe to help guitars look, sound, and play their best. After 2 years of research and development, and in a collaboration with top guitar repair shops, Music Nomad has developed the Keep It Simple setup. They demystified the guitar setup process by developing innovative precision gauges and tools combined with step-by-step general guidelines anybody can follow and set up their guitar to play and sound great. With their KISS method and their gauges, you can check the vital areas of your guitar and use their toolkits to perform your own setups. They have a 24-page instructional booklet available in 7 languages, downloadable for free, loads of how-to videos, as well as complete setup video tutorials for popular brands such as Fender, Gibson, Taylor, PRS, and more. Not only is it fun, but a properly set up guitar takes your playing and sound to a whole new level. Learn more at musicnomadcare.com. Follow them on social media with @musicnomadcare and kiss your guitar with Music Nomad's Keep It Simple setup.
The problem with that is they powered them all off wheelchair batteries, so you're gonna have to have this thing around your neck that's got like this great big bloody wheelchair battery on like your belt, to kind of like with a spring-loaded gas canister like scratch plate that smacks you in the face if you play a wrong note or something.
I mean, we already have stuff like that in the travel guitar industry, you know?
Did anyone ever watch Phoenix Nights?
A bit, yeah.
Right, so there was this episode, and we say it all the time, like when we play somewhere really rinky-dink, like that's like, oh, God, what are we doing here? It does happen. But we always joke, like, tonight, Skindred, tomorrow, Robot Wars. Like, that's playing tomorrow. Always, every time. This week, that's Skindred. Awesome. Next week, Robot Wars. Every time. So, yeah, little flavour there of what happens on the road.
I definitely, you know, I think they sold it to me with the description on their website of the team that simply says, we're a small team with a love of guitars, curry, and real ale based in Birmingham.
Absolutely. I love it.
It's amazing.
I love it.
It's so brilliant. Good.
And
in their words at all.
No, exactly. Yeah. But the guitar itself is brilliant. Like, it's absolutely sustained for days. You know, aluminium guitars are an odd thing because you play them unplugged and it's a bit like, I don't really know what's happening here. Nothing is, because they're so almost not resonant when you're playing them acoustically, and you just plug them in and they're so, it's that Steve Albini brashness, that sort of full range sound. I have no idea how to describe it, but it's so completely unique and interesting and different. I love that the guitar is so interesting and different looking. I wish it had an aluminium neck. That's what, you know, I'd like it to be the full thing, but
yeah, looking on their website, it looks like that is an option. I mean, obviously, they're a brand new company, so they're saying, we have made an aluminium neck and we can totally do it. But I think what's interesting is that they have built the body with the neck pocket being that of a standard Telecaster square heel. So, you know, you could go ahead right now to Alien Alloy Guitars and actually buy one of the bodies loaded with pickups and ready to go for 1,600 Great British Pounds, and then stick a Fender neck on it and away you go.
Done. Cart, in cart, click, yes.
Wouldn't it be better?
I'm done.
Cast iron. Wouldn't cast iron be better?
Cast iron.
Yeah, it's from Birmingham. It'd be perfect. It's got heritage.
No, that is true. That is true. You know, it's only a little while. Well, you know, Gibson made those guitars out of whatever it was, a bridge. You know, was it Fender that did the bridge? And Gibson did the... why not titanium? Yeah, something that's...
No, Fender did brass.
Oh, yes, wow. The guitar you couldn't lift. I remember it came up on Reverb like a year ago or maybe more. And it was, I can't remember what how much did they say it weighed? Like, it looked like it was hurting the guy to sit with it.
slowly crushing him under his own weight.
Yeah, I've no idea what it was, but it was something ridiculous. I don't know, £30? £40? What's ridiculous? don't know. It was a lot.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
It was not that much. No.
No, maybe, I'm saying that's not ridiculous. I can't remember. They're pretty light.
That's like four Stratocasters in your lap all at once.
No. Yeah.
Lightweight,
yeah,
baby. Lightweight.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
Yeah, yeah, get a bit of Ronnie Coleman behind that. It'd be no
problem. Exactly.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I don't know how many other brands out there making metal guitars apart from EGC. That's the only other brand I can think of doing aluminium bodies.
Well, yeah, Yngwie Malmsteen did that one, had that one from, I forget his company's name. He's based in Swindon. And he makes them hollow.
Oh, Gus Guitars? No. They're like metal, aren't they?
No.
That's the one company Prince had made, I think.
Is it Druman? Was it Druman?
Yeah, Druman.
They're the other UK one.
Swindon.
Druman are really good. And there's Longfellow as well. And the only other one I can think of is not UK is...
Sorry.
the only other one I can think of is that's, I think, from Luxembourg. I think it's Luxembourg. Is TT Tides, or it might be Tea Tides. But yes, it's TT Tides because three T's is their logo. And they're really lovely TT Tides. They make great stuff because they kind of they're not trying to do their own shapes too much. So they, you know, you can get something that looks like a 335, but it's aluminium, or you can, you know, get something that's a bit Rickenbacker-esque, which is kind of nice, you know. But
I'm disappointed. You can only name three other brands who make metal guitars. That's pretty disappointing. Let's be honest. I mean, God.
It's
only three. Only three. No, that's madness. Well done. That's incredible. I've never heard of half of them. I heard of the Druman ones, but I've not heard of the others. And EGC, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, welcome to the party, Alien Alloy Guitars. I think it's really cool. I can't wait to see how they expand their range, how that goes. I think £1,600 for an aluminium body is pretty good, considering it's such an expensive thing. You know, they tend to be really pricey. Like, look at the price of EGC guitars. So £1,600 for the body, that's accessible enough that people who were wanting to take a foray into aluminium guitars could maybe do that. So, you know, I think it's cool.
I'm now just trying to find out the name of the robot.
Yes, I did have a little search. I did have a little search earlier, but I don't know the name of the team, so I couldn't find anything. But I need to ask them, because that's what I'm really interested in. I want to find out
when can I find their next battle.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to love Robot Wars.
Absolutely.
What a show! Now, I wanted to ask everyone's advice this week. Actually, I'm having a heck of a time. My guitarist Tim, he's already come up once in this podcast. He's turning 40 this year, and I was like, yeah, we're gonna get him a nice gift, a nice present. We thought it would be lovely to buy him a new amplifier, especially as he's kind of really changing his style at the moment. He always used to play driven amps, you know, relying on amp drive a lot of the time, and and recently he's found things like the Angry Rhubarb, also the Walrus Audio 365 Overdrive and the Hudson Electronics Broadcast. He's found between those three he's actually getting great sounds with just a clean amp behind him, and he prefers having the control and the ability to, you know, change drives more than if you're just stuck with an amp that's on a single drive. And when we recorded, he did most things through a stereo amp setup of an old 60s Vox AC30 and a Fender, I think it was a DeVille. I can't remember exactly, I think. But anyway, and he was happy with that sound. So I thought, I'm going to go on the hunt for an amp for him. And I thought, maybe a Vox AC30 alternative. He used to play AC30s. He found them a little breaky, and he has fear about going back down that route. He's not sure about an AC30, but he loves the sound of them. So I was thinking about, you know, alternatives to that. But there are nice things about things like the katana, the boss neck stone. He's been using katanas recently, and one of the lovely things about them is he can gig them. And they also have such a lovely direct amp sim recording feature that when he gets home, he can plumb that into his little recording studio and get very close sounds to what he uses live for coming up with ideas. And that's great, not having to rely on miking up an amp and still getting a really similar sound. So I was like, well, I want an AC30, but wouldn't it be great to have something with, if not direct recording, because that's obviously quite rare, then something with attenuation, which allows him to still get good tones at home, but something that sounds good, clean. Maybe, you know, ideally something with a really nice organic reverb. So I'm after suggestions and options in that field. Mikey's pointing, but I think all of us have each other in different four corners. So, you know.
Yeah, okay. He's saying you should get a tone master.
I was pointing behind him.
I'm pointing at an orange Rocker 32 behind me.
So Rocker 32, great option. So one of the other things I should point out about Tim is he has a small amp syndrome or big amp syndrome, whichever way around it is. He's, you know, it was all we could do to stop getting him touring a stereo rig just for the sake of size and get him down to a single amplifier. But he's afraid of the boxiness of 112s, and so many things I thought of that were solutions are 112s. And whilst I could do that, I don't know if he'd be 100% happy. And yes, certainly Orange are one of the things I thought about, Mikey, because, you know, Orange, before Tim started playing Boss Katanas, Orange were his favourite brand. So I thought, great. And of course, Orange did the... I put this up on the Katanas Facebook group, and lots of you made suggestions. One of my favourite suggestions was the Tremlord, the Orange Tremlord, which is Orange... Okay. Orange doing Vox, has a gorgeous reverb. It sounds great clean, which, you know, previously hadn't been Orange's forte. It was a fantastic sounding clean amplifier, amazing reverb, two speeds of tremolo, and nice. It even had attenuation. Goes down to whatever, you know, bedroom, headroom.
Well, that's helpful. Yeah, I think this one's got like might have a bedroom, headroom switch on it. It doesn't have the dial like the Rockerverb dial. The clean channel on it is... It's not the greatest, not like glassy clean. I've not played a Tremlord, but what it does have going for it is a 2x10, and it's got a stereo power amp in it, so you can run effects into it and run it in stereo in one combo.
Yeah, that is very good.
If you're like a stereo delay, stereo reverb kind of cat, then it's wicked cool for that. Not that I necessarily am, but it is a really... apparently, it's great for that.
It's supposed to be great for that. Yeah, that was one of the things. He's not especially like that either. And I was like, I don't know if the Rocker 32 is aimed at him. And also, you know, how have you found the 10s? Because whilst on the podcast, I've always been like, oh, you know, 10s make perfect sense for guitar amps. I think when it actually comes to buying something to gig and tour, I guess I was a little concerned about it not being 12s.
I would probably, it's on my to-do list to swap the 10s in it for like greenbacks. I'd like to put like some Celestines in it because they're like Voice of the World speakers in there. They're okay. It's all right. It's just something to like, I use it for like testing pedals and just playing stuff to get to amp in the room stuff when I'm not using a plug-in or, you know, a modeler or whatever. And it's a real amp. I can't really say the natural channel, the clean channel is great. It's okay, but the dirty channel is pretty cool, and that's, you know, with the gain right down, it's just like the mildest of crunches. So that would be my clean channel. I've never really used glassy clean stuff anyway.
If you were going to go that way, though,
the Voice of the World speakers are okay.
Right.
Sorry, there's a little bit of latency. If you were going to go that way, though, you'd probably go for something like maybe one of the barefaced cabs, like a 1x12. They're super light and they've got all that porting in, which makes it sound a lot bigger. So if you went for that and then got like the orange rocker head, that'd probably be your best solution if you were going to go the orange route.
Yeah, because I guess you can still get the old orange rocker 30s. Downside of that is Tim already has one of the Rocker 30 heads. But the bare face is a great way to make more, I guess, of that head. It was just, again, I wasn't sure if outside of the Tremlord, Orange had nailed that British clean tone.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Difficult. You need a high watt.
Familiar with the DR103 catalog. I'm not a big clean person, so yeah, high watt is a good shout. Do high watt do like a lunchboxy thing?
Well,
I really don't know.
It's a bit bigger than that, isn't it?
Catalog.
No, but they do a small combo. I think they do like a little 15-20 watt combo thing, which is really cool, actually. Like a little 1x12 or something. I've used it in the past.
I'll have to check it out. I really hadn't looked into high watt, not especially at all. I think what I'd ended up boiling my list almost down to four things. I thought about maybe a hand wired Vox AC30.
Nice. Yeah, the white ones are really cool. Oof. Very classy. Oof.
Expensive, but more reliable potentially. Like I think normal AC30s are fine, but I could get Tim over that reliability issue with a hand wired. I think.
What about
does he use a lot
like
of pedals?
A 1987 or whichever the one is. Like what's the little, not the Blues Breaker one, but the one down from the Blues Breaker. You know what I mean? There's like a one. I think Dan Grace has got one. It's loud as.
1974X. Yes, yes, exactly. Very good. And yes, in answer to you, Thorpey, he does use a lot of pedals. Yeah, it's a big pedal board. So, makes me.
I wouldn't recommend an AC30 or an AC15 if he's going to use pedals. I love the amps; they're great. Don't get me wrong, but they are super picky as to what goes into the front end of them. If you went for something like what Mikey said with the Marshall, you could go and get a custom cab. So you've got the custom grill cloth. And that's a nice. I saw a pair of a cab with Phil Mitchell and the Mitchell brothers on it. Maybe something like that. Go a little bit.
That's a great idea. And when he said, when he says that they're picky, it's not even like they're picky about the gear; they're picky about the type of music you play. So if you're playing like instrumental, like time signature weird stuff, it'll just switch off.
Yeah, it doesn't like you.
Probably not best for. It just doesn't like it. Instrumental, progressive, like riff kind of. It's like no click.
That explains his previous, not having much luck with it in the past. And
I want you to play Arctic Monkeys covers on repeat, and then I'll sound great all night.
Right. That's it. Damn.
That's how it works. It's a circuit thing.
One of the other things I thought about was the Fender Bass Breaker. Do you remember those? I mean, they are still about, but. Do you remember
Bass Breakers?
Is that what you think? I mean, they were, basically, I was like, oh, these are reasonably priced secondhand for a 30-watt 212 Fender combo.
I think they're made of MDF.
I don't think they were bad, but I remember being in a store at the time and perhaps maybe not as reliable as their other brothers and sisters. I think cool, but I don't know whether that's Tim's thing. If I'm being perfectly honest, Joe, having been a fan of Polymath for some time and the gear that Tim uses, I'm not sure that's going to be the right vibe. And this might be a strange one. Maybe this is right, but I saw a Fender Supersonic for sale the other day, and I remember them being amazing little amps. Supersonic 22, because it's got the clean sound in it. But the drop, it has got the, well, they call it vintage and gain. And then the gain sound is more like a driven deluxe, and it's got two gain controls on it. And they always sounded super, super cool.
Supersonic.
Yeah, I wanted to say it was like a Bassman and a Vibralux, like both. There was two amps in one. Mark Roberts has got one. Mark Roberts has got one.
Yeah, I think, the Bassman vibe would be a great shout for Tim, who wants a kind of clean sound, but you can kind of break it up a bit and push it a little bit more. And the 22 is obviously like loud. It's sort of loud enough to gig with, but you're going to be pushing it, which is kind of what you want. I think after that, they did a 60 and then 100. But the 22 was always the best sounding one. Jay Cross was always a big fan of that as well.
Can't imagine why.
I've just found one on eBay, and now I'm like, oh, maybe I want to buy one. Supersonic's worth a check out.
I might give one of those a go. Of course, the other thing, man, that we'd spoken about off air was the Boss Nextone. Which, thanks to its because it does the whole valve simulation thing, can do a voxy tone.
I think the big thing for me on those is the Class AV power amp. That just makes the big difference compared to a lot of modelers that use a Class D power amp. So it's kind of just sort of a bit flat, you know, it's almost just amplifying a kind of modelled signal, where this is a bit more dynamically responsive. And obviously Tim's used Katana's live for ages, which have the same sort of power amp. It's just the fact that you've got four analog power amp circuits in this, so every valve type is a different power amp circuit. You know, I think it's definitely worth a try, especially since Tim's been used to things like the Katana's before as well.
Okay. And the last thing is on the more traditional sort of end of Fender stuff, because we've talking about some of the weirder ones like Bassman, the thingy Supersonics, and the Bass Breakers or whatever they were called. But we haven't. There's that core line. You know, there's Twins, DeVilles, Deluxes. This is. Are any of these worth a shout? Are they good enough general purpose clean amps that take drive pedals well?
Yeah,
I've never really done the sort of Fender amp thing.
Yeah, the DeVille's really cool. The Blues, the Deluxe is really cool. I think if I was I've buying one, it's the one I can't remember what it is, but it's go on.
I've got a Hot Rod Deluxe Mark IV. I use it daily at work, so we test all our pedals for it. And the reason is the clean is that good, just perfectly flat, perfectly linear. The reverb's great, but we don't use that, obviously, because we need to hear the pedals. But the great thing about it is that the previous models got vilified for having no control over master volume. It's just not an issue with this amp.
Yes, that's been what's really...
Yeah, not an issue at all. And the drive side is fantastic, actually. Yeah, if you were on a sort of a... I don't know what budget you would, because they're about £700, I think. I can't remember, but so it's a chunk of change. It's not a cheap amp, but they're great, genuinely great.
Yeah, and so are they 112s or 212s?
It's a 112 with an A-type speaker, Celestion A-type. Works really well.
Right.
If I was getting one, if I was going to say, I think it would be like the little Vibrochamp reverb, or the little custom one, but that's like it's a small one. I think it's only a 5-watt one. I want to say there was a slightly bigger one than that. Maybe
I'll tell you what I would go for, Joe, which I've mentioned many times on the podcast before, and actually is one of my favourite amps, is the Fender, and this might be a suitable option, is the Fender Hot Rod DeVille ML212, which is the Mike Landau signature, which is the super simplified Hot Rod DeVille, when I think you've basically got two identical channels with two volumes and then a 3-band EQ. No reverb, if I remember rightly. So it's like ultimate headroom, ultimate pedal platform. It's a really, really cool little amp, that. And I think Celestion... I don't know what Celestions they've put in it. Different Celestions to the normal Hot Rods. But yeah, 60 watts, two 12-inch speakers, and then yeah, two separate volumes with a clean boost on volume two, with an effects loop. Oh no, it does have reverb. That for me would be, yeah, that's a winner for me.
Sound like a very good option. I'm going to check. I've got good food for thought here. Thank you very much, everyone. I'm going to take this and pursue things. I'm going to try and back out of this bid that I've put in on a Fender Bass Breaker. And I'm sure I'll lose it. I'm sure someone else is going to bid. It will be fine. I'll be able to flip it if not. It's not a problem. I don't mind. It's going to be okay. I'm going to take all of that on board. You know, I didn't want a 112, but, you know, the Thorpey's got me sort of slightly convinced. Something that's good enough to test all the Thorpey effects pedals through, that's, you know, that's a pedal platform, isn't it? So, you know, that's tempting. But we'll see. I love the idea of the simplicity of the Landau as well. So I'm going to take this away and give it some thought. But thank you very much, gentlemen. Now, before we move on, we're going to talk about some news. I mean, some interesting products. 2022 has started with interesting product releases, which and some contentious product releases, which, you know, we will talk about shortly. But first of all, and dear listener, I really didn't prepare this one because I didn't double check with anyone before we started recording. So the answer could be a simple no. But did anyone get any new stuff over Christmas or New Year that's exciting and fun?
I did.
I did.
Excellent. Thank goodness. Aww. And this you're saving for a wedding, Matt.
That is true.
You can't get this stuff. And this is why I didn't have Jay Cross on this episode, because he'd be like, I bought a popcorn maker or something like that, and then we'd have to listen to him for a quarter of an hour tell us about his popcorn maker. But Thorpey, what did you get?
I got a I think it's made by Charvel. It's the Eddie Van Halen stripy guitar. Do you know the one that's relic?
The one that's got all the empty holes where the pickups should be.
Yeah, that's right. Well, no, it's not empty. It's got a it's got a dummy pickup in it, and it's got magnets in, so it's got the string pull on the neck, and it's got the it's got a switch where the mid pickup should be, and that doesn't do anything. And then it's got an on the wonk pickup in the bridge, and that's it. That's all she wrote, and a Floyd, which I'm struggling Amazing. With, if I'm honest.
Yeah,
I can set Floyd up.
Struggles with a Floyd.
It's the detuner. I can't get it to balance properly between D and E. It's either high E and or out of tune D. I'm like, oh, I'll work it out somehow.
Why? What made you purchase that? That seems it seems like it's not left of field. It's a very specific guitar to buy.
It's right. Do you know, if you're going to have a signature guitar, obviously I can't play anything like Eddie Van Halen, but I've got a Soldano amp, and I know that's what the 5150 was based on, and so the two marry up really, really nicely. It's like super loud, super simple, plug in, done. Honestly, the guitar's wicked. It's got a roasted neck. I don't know. I just fancied the look of it. I went for it.
The truth is that I got Thorpey some Lycra leggings for Christmas, and the look just was missing that vital. And so, yeah, you know, the Frankenstrap was the obvious purchase.
They were assless chaps. It's very odd. Just, I needed a guitar to cover up my junk.
Give us a spin.
Look, you get what you asked for, all right? That's how it works.
Well, that is, yeah, okay, cool. Well, that, I mean, a very cool guitar, but a really random one. I expected more of a tale with that. When someone buys something as specific as the Frankenstrat, you expect a big story of how Eddie Van Halen is the most important thing that ever happened. I imagine those are the sort of people that buy Eddie Van Halen signature stuff. You know, that you've got to really, really care about that artist, because
I used to have a teacher I fancied. You might have said I was hot for teacher, and then I just jumped on it. Sorry. In all seriousness, though.
Wait. No, I've got just a thing. Wait. I have it. Where is it?
Yes. No,
timing absolutely bob on.
Yeah. Well. Thank you.
I am an Eddie Van Halen fan, but more importantly, and I'm not saying it's life changing. I just really like the look of the guitar. That's it. I wanted a Superstrat, and I thought, well, you know, there's nothing more super, really, is there? I've got a guitar on order which should come maybe in a couple of weeks. So that, but and that's probably more in line with where I'm at. That guitar.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, we'll talk to you about that, I guess, the next time you're on when that's arrived. That sounds exciting. What about you, Mikey? What did you get?
The newest thing I got, I'll show you now, is this. It's a Microcosm Hologram. A Microcosm by Hologram. Thorpey knows what this is. Thorpey knows all about this. Why don't you tell him exactly what it does?
It makes lots of weeble weeble noises and reverb and delay and weeble weeble. That's it.
Weeble weeble.
It's wicked. It's wicked.
I have a terrible confession to make with that pedal, which was a friend of mine messaged me and went, "Oh, you've got one of those Microcosm pedals. A friend just bought one. He's having some problems with it. Do you think you could, like, you've used it. Do you know the answer?" And I went, "Yeah, I bought one and then got it out of the box. And then that was it." I've plugged it in. I got it last May. I think I've plugged it in for less than 10 minutes.
Wow.
I am, though, currently building a giant pedal board, which does feature the Microcosm. I'm running it. This is, you know, ultimate in just the ridiculous pedal board, but I'm running it in parallel with a Chase Bliss CXM 1978.
Why?
Because why not?
Why? Why?
That's that's going to open up a Microcosm.
Yeah. Just, wow. You know. So
Truth be told. Sorry, go on, Matt.
I was going to say, if you see a black hole open up in Brixton, you know it's because I've turned both of those pedals on.
Turn your pedal board on. Yeah. Truth be told, this isn't going anywhere near a pedal board. The reason I got it was because it's kind of like its own instrument in a weird way. And actually, what I intend to use is use it for like outboard, almost like studio outboards. Like feed keyboards into, feed like a very simple synth, let it do its thing, make a little part more interesting or musical. It's more for like vibe starting and getting some like when you have a track and you're trying to encourage it to sound less like someone at home just going through the motions with basic virtual instruments. This gives it that kind of like ooh vibe, like what's that? That's different, that's clever, that's smart. I have no intention of really probably putting a guitar for it, to be honest. It's probably more like use it as an aux input in Pro Tools and just chuck stuff at it and let it be weird. That's what I'm hoping to use it for.
That's very cool. Well, what makes it stand apart from like other things? This is a very well trodden path, and it's very expensive.
Yeah, it's got some wicked algorithms in it where it just has a bit of a mind of its own, and it creates something quite unique. In a bit, the stuff that I've seen online I found inspiring is almost a bit like the Boss Slicer kind of vibe. Is where it kind of like, where it arpeggiates things or it throws weird rhythm at a signal combined with really sweet reverbs and cool like other delays, and it's just creates weirdness. And for the right application, I think that's kind of cool. Like my intention, I'd say, is like to throw a synth at it and just all of a sudden that synth becomes infinitely more interesting and weird. That's the plan. We'll see. It might be on eBay in a week. You never know.
It was getting dusty.
It was one of those pedals that was super popular when it was first released. Like, everyone was talking
still
about
is.
It. And I wondered now, like, has some hype died down with it? Or is it becoming now one of the sort of legendary delay reverb things? Is it the new legendary delay reverb thing?
I don't know. I think it's kind of like a Strymon timeline on acid. You know what I mean? Where it's like, let's make stuff weird. And I looked into buying one direct, and they had massively back ordered and you pre-order and stuff, and I had hoped to get some kind of like marginal artist discount, being the, you know, and they told me basically in no small terms to fuck off. Basically. So I was like, great, used market it is, thank you very much, brilliant. So yeah,
wow. Well.
Yeah, that really put me in my place, let me tell you.
Robot Wars, though. Delay, but, yeah, Robot Wars, they got a couple, you know.
I know. It's really, really frustrating, and actually, yeah, a bit soul-destroying, actually. It's like, great, can't get arrested by hologram effects. I'll remember that.
Well,
wait till NAMM, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
we're getting around again.
Gonna make
get
your
the
own
pistons out.
You sir,
the red beard effects hologram is the next pedal. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Now let's talk about a little bit of news. Let's talk about some new releases, because there have been some exciting things. Let's start with the most contentious. Not that this is especially contentious. This is cool. PRS, obviously, dear listener, you know this by now. It's more talking about it than this is not news to anyone. It's been everywhere. But PRS have introduced, as we always knew they would, the SE Silver Sky. So an affordable Silver Sky. They've changed some of the, you know, the more annoying features about it. They've changed the radius. So it's now a very odd 8.5. Very unusual. It was 7.25 previously, which, you know, you had to really like John Mayer and not like guitar to want that. And now 8.5, which is now 8.5
like
is
John
definitely
Mayer and not like bending ever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But 8.5 is a bit closer to, well, it's fine. 8.5 is fine, I'm sure. They've kept a lot of very premium looking features on this guitar. You know, tuners, everything like that looks great. They've kept those gorgeous sort of the Strat style knobs, but without volume and tone written on the top. So they're lovely and clean domed tops. Lovely color options. Four very nice color options: evergreen, moon white, dragon fruit, and stone blue. Terrible, terrible names, but quite nice colors. And I think it's quite a good price as well.
I can't remember what the price is. 895.
That's good. That's good. You know, that's less money. Well, where is he? 895. So you're where are you? Like 150 quid more than a Mexican player. You know, so in the ballpark of a Mexican player Strat, I guess.
Is it off limits, or are we allowed to talk about why John Mayer parted ways with Fender? And is that somewhere we're allowed to go?
I have no idea why it was the case.
I just think Fender must be kicking themselves, man. This guitar's a big deal for people, isn't it? Like, it's a real sad thing.
But
wasn't it the top selling guitar?
It would have been a big deal
last year.
Yeah, probably.
On Reverb, probably. Yeah. It was the top set. So the original Silver Sky, not this one.
This one probably will be, though. This will probably smash it, because now it's super affordable.
This one will be. The Silver Sky wasn't the top-selling guitar on Reverb last year. We did an episode on the top sellers, but it was up there. It was certainly the year of the Strats. Out of the top 10, it was something like 6 or 7 of them were either Strats or copies of Strats. That were, you know, so it's definitely the year of the Strat. The Silver Sky was pretty high up. I think it was top 5 or maybe top 3 even. But it wasn't the best selling. The best selling was the Fender Player Stratocaster.
That kind of makes sense.
But, you know,
I've had a Silver Sky, the original one, and I really liked it. You know, and I know the radius, everyone on principle would say that's pretty terrible to play, but it didn't choke out at all. I don't know what magic they were working. Maybe they had a compound radius and just weren't telling anyone, but it didn't choke out. And
did it feel different though?
I'm not wedded to any one guitar or any one thing, and I'm not a professional musician like Mikey, so you know, what do I know? But ultimately, I found it really nice to play. It was comfortable, it was light, it was really well appointed. It only had one error with it, really. And that was a weird static build-up of the pickguard material. And so every time you touched it, it made a sort of like a zzz, zzz. Search it. It's a thing. It was a thing. I think they changed the material. But
right,
I know. These are inevitable, so I don't know why people were A, surprised, and B, upset.
Yeah, no. People love to be upset in the guitar industry, though, don't they?
My favourite element of the Silver Sky, and I'm pretty indifferent to the Silver Sky. I wouldn't buy one, but then I don't see what all the big like the fuss is. Oh my god, it's a guitar, cool. My favourite bit of it is the switch tip. Ooh, I like that.
What's different about it?
It's kind of like, it's like someone's taken a Strat one and like squashed it between their fingers and gone, and it's like fat and wide. I like it. I don't know why. I just want to play with it, man. I just want to wiggle it back and forth and go, yeah. Yeah. It just looks like a knob that wants to be played with. You get me?
I mean, I must admit, I do like the knobs on it. I think the knobs look really good.
Attention to detail is great.
The little cutaway thing, the headstock doesn't bother me. Like, I don't know what people are like, it's an outrage to
I don't like the colours.
And guitars.
You don't like the colours?
No, because John Mayer made a whole big thing about the Silver Sky, saying, oh, you know, one of the reasons why I moved from Fender was because they wouldn't let me get past the traditional stuff and they wouldn't make the guitar that I wanted. And I'm like, you know, I'm paraphrasing here. Obviously, he hasn't told me. And that's cool. I totally get that. But he made a big deal about, I want to use colours, you know, all the colours that Fender use are from Hot Rods in the 1950s. I want to use Tesla colours. And so the colours that they released were sort of the colour range you could get from Tesla, which kind of makes sense if you're going that way. These, they're salt and vinegar green, that is, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the cheese and onion caster, isn't it? Like that
type. The green is a bit burns, isn't it?
Yeah,
the greens doesn't offend me.
No, burns do it well.
The yellow one, I guess, moon white, but the moon isn't yellow.
That colour. It's not made of cheese, is it? That's something you get told when you're five.
The moon is not made of cheese, that's right. What's that? Stone blue.
I'm not a huge fan, but I would have seriously been tempted if they'd have done it in the pink. Because I think the pink one looks cool. Mainly because
they're building
pink.
Up to that, aren't they? They're building up to it. That's the one. Last Train Home one or whatever it is.
It's a smart move because, you know, don't offer the colours that you can buy in the more expensive one because you want people to go, well, if I want that colour, I've got to buy the more expensive one. But, you know, it was definitely going to happen. And I'm sure, you know, the lovely Paul Reed Smith and John Mayer are, you know, laughing all the way to the bank as they've probably secured, I would say, six figures in orders in terms of actual units. And no doubt that they are sold out everywhere and you probably won't be able to get one for a very long time. So if you love John Mayer, well done. I mean, if I was John Mayer, I'd be like absolutely the same. I'd be like, great, thanks for buying loads of these guitars. You know, and what a great opportunity to be able to have a custom guitar to your spec. So
he is cleaning up right now.
I mean this was always a great idea, because the thing is, John Mayer is incredibly popular especially among guitar players, and for him to now have something that's affordable, because to be honest, you know, before the Silver Sky, whatever it was, 2200, that's a commitment. You've got to really like that guitar or be really into John Mayer to get that, whereas now at just over 800 quid, that's not too bad. It doesn't just have to be John Mayer fans now. It looks quite cool. A three-a-side headstock looks quite cool. Actually, you know, full disclosure, I think it's an absolute sack of rubbish and baloney. I hate it and I hate him. I think it's awful and PRS is all rubbish. That's my honest opinion. But my podcast opinion is, you know, just as what it gives to the guitar community, it's great. I think it's great. It's cool. It's interesting. Yeah, the colours could be better, but I'm sure they will be in the future. At £800, I think they will sell an absolute boatload, and it will easily be, you know, unless something big comes out this year, I think this will probably be the biggest release of the year, and it's happened early on. I'm dreading Gear of the Year 2022.
Because I will destroy you, Joe. I will destroy you.
Maybe that green one will be stuck, literally a boatload of them, stuck in the Suez Canal sideways.
Yes.
Maybe that's what's going to happen. Could be a thing.
Joe, I just want to get... Where did John Mayer hurt you? I mean, that was a lot of viciousness there. I mean, you've upset my PRS. It's crying. I have one and it's crying over there.
Yeah,
yeah, it's so I'm sorry, he's an awful lot of tepid, it's an awful lot of middle of the road tepidness for me. And you know, I think it's a perfect marriage with PRS, because that tends to be my opinion of PRS. Is, you know,
oh,
so,
Joe. Okay, swinging all the punches.
Here we go. Yeah. If John Mayer and PRS get together and they release a headstockless Silver Sky,
I'm in.
I reckon
I'm there.
That's how they're going to get you. That's what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. I'll
right
be there.
In there. Like, right in the pocket.
Microtonal frets. If they do a Silver Sky with microtonal frets, I am there 100%.
He's taking a new turn with his music.
What's tepid about this? Look at this.
There's nothing tepid about it. So for the listener, Thorpey is showing me what can only be described as a vomit green topped PRS. It was lovely. It was like a wonderful sort of. I mean, I'm sure it would had, you know, when I'm not looking at it on a small screen, I'm sure it was had a nice sort of through woodness to it. But it looked like a proper vibrant 80s colour. I mean, they make great
lime
things.
Green.
I'm talking,
lime green.
I only talk, it's a lovely lime green. I only talk personally. Like my personal opinions, let's bear in mind, I'll only buy guitars if they're black or sunburst. So, you know, my personal taste in guitars is very different from what I think a guitar gives to the guitar community, as it were. But, you know, yeah, that's
very professional. I like
my
that.
Tastes are bland and boring, but you know, it's fine. It's fine. They're all fine. Anyway, dear listener, we are hurtling towards the end of this podcast. So we're going to go over to the Patreon. Maybe we'll talk about some of the other releases. You know, Orange have got their Guitar Butler. The Maestro Valvola is quite an interesting thing that's turned up. And there's some other bits and bobs too. We're also going to maybe start talking a bit about vintage gear as well.
What?
So, you know. So, yeah. So if you fancy it, dear listener, come over and join us on the Patreon. You can become a Patreon supporter for as little as $1 a month. At the dollar tier, you get this episode ad-free and early every week. $5 gets you access to the Patreon special and our entire back catalogue of those. $10 gets you the lot, plus I'll sing you my thanks at the end of every episode. You can find us on all your favourite social media platforms and join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook to get involved in our weekly discussion. Thanks for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Bye.
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 Well, there it is, dear listener, the end of episode 2 of season 3. Now, we did use that video platform again to record the episode, and I feel like there was a little bit of latency, so there was a bit of talking, people talking over each other, maybe not as smooth as usual, but I promise, next week we'll be returning to our usual high standard. And in the meantime, I want to thank all my favourite people, those wonderful top-tier backers on Patreon. So, thank you, Steve Davis, Daniel Walker, Ben Harder, Joran Brown, Holly Simpson, Eric Vaughan, John Conaway, Paul Drew, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Joe Hoppard, Sean Hughes, Brian Hansen, Eric Emma, Jeffrey Wax, Shane Molloy, Brian Einsler, Gavin van der Linden, Mark Hizau Kadawaki, Robert Butterworth, Stuart Robson, Christian Lund Hansen, Keith Adams, Eric File, Peter Pesch, Scott Utting, Jack Cutmore, Andy Manley, Simon Milbourne, Ken Sayers, Joe Puttick, Blake Wyland, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, John Anglin, Aaron Sherman, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Loseth, Stephen Bork, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Paul Corrigan, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and Moog Gravett. Thank you. Thank you, one and all. We'll be back next week. I promise the quality will be better. And if you're a Patreon backer, which I guess the top tier are, we're going to have a quiz hosted by Mark Packham. See you next week. Farewell!
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.